Mickey back on the patio, so she rubbed her finger along his gums and let him gnaw on that for a moment.
"I'm sorry, Boo. I swear I'll do better. I'll give you everything I have. You're the only one who matters."
Tears formed, but didn't fall. She conjured Ian up, replaying the way he'd reassured her about her mothering. He'd promised that love was enough, that mistakes didn't make her a bad mother.
"Gentry?"
Sarah's shadow fell across the bench. Gentry closed her eyes and took a breath.
"I'm sorry I snapped at you."
Sarah sat beside her. At first, they didn't speak. Then Sarah said,
"I only came to say that you're wrong." "Of course I am. Haven't you heard?"
Gentry faced Sarah.
"That's where I excel."
"Stop." Sarah laid her hand on Gentry's thigh and squeezed.
"Just stop. You're wrong to think that we question your decision to keep Colt."
"Come on," Gentry snorted. "I remember what Hunter said that night in Dad's family room." Those words had haunted her more than once. She'd expected his anger when she decided to keep Colt, but Hunter had hit her with her worst fear. "I'm sorry, too. Sorry for that child you're carrying, who had a chance to have Sarah for a mother, but now will be stuck with you."
"He was hurt and angry," Sarah shrugged. "We all say things in the heat of the moment that we regret."
"You don't," Gentry conceded.
"I do.
Ask my sisters." Sarah smiled and patted Gentry's shoulder.
"You're the perfect mother for Colt. He's part of you, and you're part of him, and that love is all you need. Stop comparing us, because nobody else is. There's no one right way, but you've got to believe in yourself if you want others to believe in you, too."
That echoed the advice Gentry had dispensed on her blog, yet, like with most advice, it was easier to give than to follow.
"It's not that simple." "It actually is, I think."
"Not when everything I do is picked apart by my mother. When every opinion or choice is judged immature or wasteful."
"You and your mom have had an unhealthy dynamic forever. I see you trying, though."
"She should give you credit for the ways you've matured. Maybe you need to stop assuming the worst of your family, too. Take Hunter. He has a hard time understanding people who don't think like him. He's bossy, and he's always going to see you as his baby sister. It's not personal, though. He loves you, and he'd be the first one there if you needed him."
"Maybe you're right."
Gentry kissed Colt's head, grateful she had him to cling to during this sweet but awkward exchange.
"I'm sorry I lashed out at you. You make me feel insecure because you always have your shit together, and I rarely do."
"I have help. Hunter takes care of me. He handles a lot of the day-to-day details, so I can focus on Ty. You're doing it all on your own. Working, motherhood, now dealing with Smith. Give yourself a break, Gentry." Sarah inhaled, and her gaze wandered to the trees.
"I suspect you still miss Ian, which probably makes everything harder."
"It does." Gentry bit her nail. "But that's not the immediate problem."
"What is?"
Gentry wrinkled her nose.
"I don't like working at CTC.
Sarah's brows rose high on her forehead.
"Then why do you strong-arm Hunter into hiring you last year?"
"Because, for the first time, my voice finally mattered. Voting with Hunter was a way to make up for how much I hurt you both, and a way into my family. I thought if I worked here, I'd connect with them and their drive. She grimaced. I'm not ungrateful for everything it's given to me, but CTC just doesn't mean to me what it does to them.
I'm not surprised, Sarah chuckled. You've never been conventional, and that's not an insult.
Gentry stared at her son, praying that he'd have more direction than she'd ever found. Sarah gripped the edge of the bench on either side of her legs.
Maybe you should focus on what you love. How about photography? Maybe start with family portraits or architectural shoots or whatever. Or your blog. Where could that lead if you gave it more attention?
I don't know.
You should trust yourself more than you do.
I told you, my mother always makes me feel stupid. Gentry grimaced.
You're a little old to blame your parents. Sarah bumped shoulders with Gentry. Besides, we all make mistakes as mothers, don't we?
Sit down with Jenna and work stuff out. It'd be better for you that way, and it will be better for Colt.
Gentry let her head fall on Sarah's shoulder.
See, this is why you're better at life than I am.
Hardly. Look at how I almost lost everything last summer. I only see this clearly because we're not talking about my family.
Gentry raised her head and sighed. We should go back.
Will you quit?
Gentry bit her lip. I'm finally closer to Hunter. If I leave, it'll go back to how it was before. He won't respect me.
That's not true, Sarah frowned. Think of it this way. If your family didn't love you, then they wouldn't worry about you. As long as you come up with some plan for your future, they'll respect that.
Sarah stood.
Come on, let's go.
Wait. Gentry stood and handed Colt to Sarah. Is your offer to watch Colt for a few weeks still good?
So you're not going to quit?
Not until after the launch. Gentry wouldn't bail in the 11th hour. It'll give me time to make some new plans for my future.
Might that future include Smith?
Sarah bit her lip.
I like him as a friend, and he's already a doting father. But I don't feel more.
Because of Ian? Ridiculous, right? He showed me what I'm missing, and now I can't pretend or manufacture it. If I get lucky enough, maybe I'll find it again one day. But I don't see it happening with Smith.
Sarah smoothed her hand over Gentry's head. I hope you find it.
Me too.
They walked around the building together, and Gentry stopped short. Colby must have taken off for a certain tea. Hunter and her dad and mom looked like they were having some kind of powwow.
Oh boy, wish me luck.
You'll be fine.
Gentry charged up to Smith first. I'm sorry I snapped at you.
Thanks, he said, hands stuffed in his pockets. Her whole family looked on.
Can you take Colt with Sarah and Ty for a minute? I need to talk to my family.
Sure.
He took Colt and the diaper bag, and Sarah led him up toward the buffet tables on the patio.
What's up now? Hunter asked, his arms folded across his chest.
I'm sorry for my outburst, and I've already apologized to Sarah, she said.
Good, he replied, rising off the ground, as if planning to go after his wife.
Hold up, there's more?
She didn't know whom to look at, so she closed her eyes and blurted her plans.
I'm resigning from my job, effective after the launch.
Why, honey?
Her father's concerned expression took the sting out of her mother's arch one.
I've loved having another Cabot walk the halls and seeing you and your brother working together. It's what I'd always envisioned when I started this place.
Hunter's eyes narrowed while he waited for her explanation.
That's the whole reason I wanted to work here, Dad, Gentry assured him. I thought if I could make myself love it as much as you all do, we'd be closer. But I don't love it. I can't see myself there in 5 months, let alone 5 years. It's not my passion.
Your passion? Jenna asked. Jenna, let her talk. Hunter gestured for Gentry to finish.
Yes, passion. That's why you're all so good at it, and why I'm not.
You've done a good job here, her dad said. You're still learning.
I'm not sure everyone agrees. Gentry didn't look directly at her mother, but she didn't need to.
And it's beside the point. I want to wake up and look forward to my work, like you all do. I think I can do something with photography. And I've got my blog.
No one spoke for a few seconds, like a game of chicken. With nothing left to say, Gentry accepted that they would never understand her.
I'm sorry I've let you down.
You haven't let us down.
Hunter reached out and squeezed her hand.
You deserve to love what you do.
Thank you.
She swallowed the lump in her throat. Dad?
Baby, I just want you to be happy.
When her mother remained silent, Gentry said,
I should go catch up with Smith.
Hang on, her mom said. Gentry waited, bracing herself for disappointment. Her mom reached over and clasped her hand.
I don't want you leaving here, thinking that I wasn't proud of your contributions.
That's not why I'm leaving.
Maybe not, but you need to understand that I've always pushed you because I believe in you, not because I think you're a failure. I wanted you to see how much you could accomplish and hoped that success would give you confidence.
Her mom laid one hand on her stomach.
I'm not a warm person.
I know that.
I could blame my dad, but what's the point?
I can't change who I am any more than you can change who you are.
I'm sorry my methods hurt you. But I swear my heart was in the right place. I love you, Gentry. I always have, and I always will.
I hope one day we can find a way to talk to each other without all the sharp edges.
Gentry's dad smiled at his wife. He'd loved her for years, admired her chutzpah, her drive, her smarts. And he seemed to understand her motives and moods in a way no one else ever did. Perhaps Gentry should try to see her mom through her father's eyes. In a way, she and her mom weren't that different from each other. Both hid their vulnerabilities behind a hard shell. Grandpa John had stolen her mom's ability to give love without fear of abandonment, just like he'd stolen money from the family bank account. Through that filter, maybe Gentry could give her mom a break now and then, or at least count to five before engaging in a battle of words. Right now, she thought about what she'd want Colt to say to her if she were in her mom's shoes. It didn't take long to know exactly how to respond. She hugged her mom, waiting for her to relax.
I know I never made anything easier for you. I'll try to be more understanding. I love you too.
Her dad hugged them both.
Now I've got to get in on the action.
Hunter stood outside the circle, awkwardly patting his dad on the shoulder.
Gentry swiped a tear from the corner of her eyes and chuckled. Okay, okay, people are watching. This is getting weird.
Go find Smith, her father said. When's he leaving?
He's got a late flight tomorrow night. He wanted to spend as much time with Colt as possible.
Maybe we can join you for lunch tomorrow? He asked.
Sounds nice, Dad. She smiled, then scanned the lawn, spotting Smith, Sarah, Ty, and Colt in the distance. See you in a bit.
She bounded across the grass, unburdened. The world hadn't ended. Her family hadn't berated her. She was free, and something like happiness bubbled inside. She gave a quick thought to Ian, and hoped he, too, was finding his way.
Chapter 22 Zen. According to Merriam-Webster, a Japanese sect of Mahayana Buddhism that aims at enlightenment by direct intuition through meditation. According to me, my new habit. After getting Colt to bed for the night, Gentry emerged from her room to find Smith in the kitchen, pouring them each a glass of Barolo. She lifted one off the counter. Thank you. He raised his glass. Cheers. She eyed him over the rim while she sipped. Its rich perfume helped boost the flavor explosion in her mouth. Wow, is that licorice I taste?
Such a quick study. Sip again, and see if you can taste the truffle and rose.
He grinned and watched her while she tested herself.
When Colt's a little older, we should take a trip to Piedmont. If you liked Napa, you'll love Italy.
Napa.
She had loved it, and that trip had clearly been life-changing. But the mischief in his eyes hinted that he was thinking about their tryst more than the wines. She smiled, but set her glass down. I think we should talk, Peter.
Ah.
He finished his drink, then refilled his glass.
How about you spare me the, you're a great guy, but, speech, and we just skip to the end, Artemis.
She stroked his bicep. You make things easy.
What can I say?
He shrugged.
I'm an easygoing guy.
You are. I couldn't ask for a better dad for Colt.
She nodded toward the living room.
Let's take this to the sofa.
Once seated, he said,
We'll need to figure out some kind of custody arrangement when Colt gets a little older. But for now, let's keep things loosey-goosey.
Sounds more than fair.
She dreaded the idea a month ago. But now that she knew Smith, it didn't bother her. He was a good man with a kind heart. He loved their son. And Colt would thrive from time spent with Smith and his family.
Truthfully, I'm not set up to handle him on my own yet. I basically keep the same work hours as your sister and Alec.
Smith sipped more wine.
It's easy for me to come up here, although I'll have to shift to Sunday-Monday visits because I can't keep taking time off work. If you bring him down every couple of months, too, it'll be enough this year.
I'll do whatever works for you, I swear. The last thing I'd ever want is to stand in the way of you two bonding.
She reached across the table and squeezed his hand.
It'll be easy for me to be flexible after the launch.
Mind telling me why you quit?
She didn't want to rehash it. And frankly, she'd grown a little sick of herself and her issues. The bottom line should be enough explanation.
Remember how you said once that I didn't strike you as the corporate type?
I do.
You were right. I think I'll be a better person and mother when I do my own thing. I've always loved photography.
Smith glanced around at all the pictures.
You're great at it.
I love the way you put together collages.
Thanks. Let's hope others do too. I'll use my blog to create a gallery page. I need to do a little research about pricing and stuff.
I'll be your test model, he teased, turning to show off his profile with a slight raise of his chin.
No joke. You and Colt would be perfect models. I'm going to hold you to it.
When he smiled at her, her chest ached with gratitude. Smith, when we met in Napa, I never would have predicted we'd end up here, with our son sound asleep a few yards away. But I can't imagine a life without him. And you've been so damn nice about everything. I owe you big.
You owe me nothing. You could have chosen not to have Colt or to give him up. Hell, you took a big risk when you set out to find me. I'm the lucky one. I'm only a little sorry we won't be a more traditional family like I had growing up.
We'll be okay. And so will Colt. Someday he'll have two more parents who love him too. But you'd better choose wisely.
She pinched his leg in jest. Smith turned a little quiet and set his empty wine glass on the ottoman tray.
I'd say the same, but I get the feeling you already know who you'd choose. What are the chances I'll be seeing Ian around here again?
Slim to none. He's gone.
She cleared her throat.
I'm not ready to date, but when I am, I promise I'll never pick someone who isn't good for Colt.
I trust you.
Gentry smiled. Those weren't words she'd heard often in her life, but it felt damn good tonight.
I think I'll go shower and read a bit, if you don't mind.
Smith stood.
I'm a little worn out from the long day with your family.
They are draining, she teased. Go ahead. I think I'll do a little work and get to bed early, too.
Smith kissed the top of her head before going upstairs.
Gentry checked her phone. No messages. Never the name she hoped to see. She tossed it back on the ottoman and stretched her legs, staring at a photo of Colt.
Her family had built something they could be proud of. Now, she would, too.
She went out to the deck, where crickets sang their tinny song. Looking at the cloudless sky, she chose a star. Stars were something she could still share with Ian, like they'd promised. She pretended its twinkle was his smile. Imagined his reaction to her latest news. When tears pricked behind her eyelids, she held them back. Time to really let go.
Ian stood on the sidewalk outside Gentry's condo, remembering the first time he'd seen its impressive black door.
His life had changed when he'd walked through it, and he hoped it would do so again today.
He hadn't called, hadn't asked her if he was welcome. Now, standing on the sidewalk with the ridiculously oversized stuffed dog he'd bought on his way here, he drew a deep breath. Ian started down the walkway. Just as the door opened, he halted, his heart leaping, when Smith pushed Colt's stroller out the door.
Oh,
Smith said, stopping short, gawking at the powder-blue plush dog that dwarfed the stroller.
Ian.
I found it.
Gentry called from inside before she appeared and nearly ran into Smith.
Here's the clean binky.
Then she looked up, and her face drained of color.
Ian!
Her mouth fell open. Her gaze remained locked on him. If she noticed the dog, she didn't say.
Sorry, I should have called.
Ian turned, his body a mishmash of tendons and muscles that forgot how to coordinate so he could walk. the dog. He should leave the dog for Colt. His mind and body wouldn't work together, so he ended up turning in a circle.
"Hold up," Smith called.
Ian's eyes fell on Colt, who looked the same yet different from how he remembered. He couldn't tell if Colt recognized him, but he didn't dare overstep his boundaries with Smith standing there. His heart squeezed at the realization that he'd let that child and Gentry slip through his fingers. He set Brutus, as he dubbed the gift, on the ground.
"This is for Colt."
Gentry blinked as Ian pulled Quackers out of the deep pocket of his camo shorts.
"I'll take Colt for a walk while you two talk," Smith offered,
with no trace of anger or smugness.
The binky dangled from Gentry's fingers.
"Thanks," she said, without sparing Smith a glance, her eyes tracking Ian's every move. Smith snatched the binky from her and then pushed the stroller past Ian, hanging a left toward the park.
"You're home,"
Gentry bit her nail.
"Yes."
Despite his reunion plans falling apart because of Smith, seeing her made him smile.
Do you want to come inside?"
She hitched her thumb over her shoulder.
He should go. He'd waited too long. She'd moved on with Smith and was putting a family together for Colt.
"It's okay. I don't want to cause trouble."
"Trouble?" She lifted her head, her red hair like fire, lit by the late afternoon sun, tumbling around her shoulders.
"With Smith."
God, he should have called. He should have called before upending his life and barging in on hers. She'd let it go. He'd read it and then ignored it because he hadn't wanted it to be true. Her brows pinched and then rose.
"Oh, no, we're not. He's not.
He's only here to spend time with Colt." The vice around his chest loosened.
"So you two..."
"No." She shook her head, lips pressed together. Relief exploded inside him, making him dizzy. He bent over, hands on his knees, and blew out a breath. Gentry rushed forward.
"Are you sick?"
Without thinking, he wrapped his arms around her, holding her tight and swaying slightly to the sweet music flooding his mind. He couldn't speak, so he kissed her temple, her cheek, her neck, and then, finally, her mouth. She tasted like citrus and honey. He dug his hands through her hair, kissing her as if she were his last breath, stopping long enough to inhale, keeping his forehead pressed to hers.
"What happened, Ian?"
She tipped her head back, cupping his jaw in her hands.
"Why are you here?"
He smiled at her confusion.
"I'm here for you."
"Me?" she blinked.
"You and Colt."
His face hurt from smiling, but he couldn't stop. This was right. Everything was right now, and life promised to be an entirely new adventure.
"I don't understand."
Her expression turned more solemn. "Now you think we can handle the distance?"
"No more distance."
She dropped her hands, twining her fingers.
"Did something happen with the project?"
"Sort of."
"So it didn't work. That's why you're back."
She eased away.
"No, it's working fine, but it won't have the Crawford name."
"Why not?"
"I traded it for some trucks and the chance to work from Oregon. Jeremy Fairfax will stay in Haiti to oversee the day-to-day operation. I have to go back for a few weeks to prep for the first class of trainees. I'll also make a few short trips throughout the next 2 years or so, but I'll be living here."
in Oregon.
Why, Ian?
Because of you.
She shook her head, resting her palm against her cheek. What about your dad? Your mission?
He fingered the hair around her face, brushing the back of his knuckles against her cheek.
You were right. Ghosts won't make me happy like you and Colt do. It took me a few weeks to understand why I couldn't shake my mood, but then it struck me. I missed you. My dream has changed.
Is your mother disappointed? Gentry frowned.
She'll be okay when she sees me happy.
I can't believe you made that snap decision. It's so unlike you. Without warning, she jumped him, her legs straddling his waist. He used his arms to support her while she kissed him.
Maybe we should get off the sidewalk, he suggested, and take Brutus inside, too.
Brutus? She giggled, looking down at the dog. I'm a shopper, Ian. I know this thing cost a pretty penny. Quite a frivolous gift, you know. This dog's price tag could feed a dozen people, maybe more. I hope you haven't changed everything about yourself, McJay.
Not everything. But I kept looking at Quackers and thinking about what he meant to you. Given the way I left, I thought I'd better go big so you couldn't ignore me.
I could never ignore you. She released her grip and slid down his body, then lifted Brutus.
You're not the only one making changes. I quit my job to make a go of photography. That can't have been easy.
No, but I feel so much better now that I'm being honest.
Me too. Hopefully, I'll land a steady paramedic job at the hospital.
I can't tempt you back into being Colt's nanny, she teased.
No. Although, I'd like to be here for Colt and you on a regular basis.
Well, you're in luck then, because we'd love that too.
She threw her arms around his neck and kissed him.
Besides, now that I'll be working from home, I'll manage Colt in the mornings, schedule portraits in the afternoon, and edit photos at night. Just need a part-time sitter each day.
I've always known he was a lucky kid.
Ian kissed her again, because he could. Because he didn't want to stop kissing her.
Let's go inside.
She opened the door and set Brutus on the floor.
Smith will be back soon.
I can take off until he leaves, if that's easier.
No way. I'm not letting you out of my sight, Ian Crawford.
She hugged him, resting her head on his shoulder.
When Smith gets back, we'll talk about how to be the best kind of family any kid ever had.
Epilogue. 2 months later.
Family. According to Merriam-Webster, a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. According to me, my new normal.
Crisp light breezes swept over the lakeside lawn on the evening of Colby's wedding. The sky, a lilac canvas crisscrossed with pink and orange brushstrokes, perfectly accompanied the romantic event. Only the bushels of lilies and pink peonies decorating a certain tea's flagstone patio were more remarkable. Gentry waved goodbye to the sitter who was taking Ty and Colt home to sleep. She then meandered through the elaborately set tables, each with candlelight flickering from hurricane lanterns, to find her spot at the family table. Ian had already seated himself beside Sarah. Leslie was flanked by Hunter and Colby, with Alex and Gentry's parents filling out the rest of the table. Tonight, the entire family rallied, putting on its best behavior so as not to disrupt Colby's big day.
Even Gentry's mother had been friendly to Leslie. A first, and possibly a turning point.
Didn't my sister look beautiful at the altar?
Gentry kissed Ian as she took her seat between him and her mother. He squeezed her hand, leaning close and whispering,
"Not as beautiful as you."
Good answer.
She toyed with the bow tie of his rented tuxedo. Another first, no doubt. If he was uncomfortable in the suit, he didn't say.
"I'm not sure which Ian I like best, casual t-shirts or this Hugo Boss thing you've got going on."
"Hopefully not this, because I can't wait to take it off."
She wiggled her brows.
"Me neither, come to think of it."
In a continued effort to make peace with her mother, she turned to her right. "You look nice too, Mom."
"Thank you."
Her mother touched the side of her hair, which had been swept up into a sophisticated French twist. "I meant to tell you, Marion Leckie mentioned how much she loved the collage of her grandchildren's portraits you made."
"I love working with kids. They're so easy to win over. Such spontaneous, happy little creatures."
"Ignorance is bliss, I suppose." Her mother raised a brow and sipped her water. "Life makes cynics of us all, eventually." Gentry might have made the same crack a few months ago, but now she knew peace and hope. A glance across the table gave her a clear shot of her sister's exuberance. Colby and Alec whispered something to each other, and then he kissed her as if no one else existed. Moments like this made it hard to be cynical. Ian wrapped one arm around the back of Gentry's chair. Having him in her life had made her ecstatic, like the children she photographed. Gentry replied to her mom,
"Even the most cynical of us can be changed by love, though, can't we?"
Her mother looked at her own husband.
"I suppose so."
The waiters roamed the reception, filling everyone's champagne glasses. Gentry's father then stood and tapped his glass with a fork. The guests all quieted themselves in anticipation of the father of the bride speech. Jed Cabot cut a dashing figure in his tux. His salt and pepper hair, still thick and closely cropped, lent him sophistication tonight. His best accessory had always been his smile, which shone like the stars starting to dot the sky overhead. He beamed at Colby and Alec before speaking.
"Thank you all for coming tonight. It's my honor to host you at this amazing restaurant that these two built with their imaginations, sweat, and hearts. I can't think of anyone more deserving of its success or of the love that brings us here tonight."
He glanced at Alec's parents, Frank and Julie Morgan, and nodded before continuing.
30-plus years ago, when Hunter was still in diapers, Leslie fell in love with a little craftsman on Forest Street and badgered me into buying it. I wasn't sure I could pay that mortgage, but the neighborhood was perfect for the kids. So we took the plunge. Who could have known then that that decision would have yielded not only a lifelong friend for my son, but also a husband for my daughter? Alec, you've always been one of the kindest, most loyal, and patient men I've known. My daughter has never been happier in her life than she has this past year, and that's almost entirely thanks to you and your love. Hunter has always viewed you as the brother he never had, but I'm damn glad it's now official. Welcome to our family, and we wish you both decades of happiness to come."
He raised his glass of the Eagle Ourier champagne Smith had recommended for the event, and everyone clanked their flutes
and chugged down the bubbly. Everyone except Sarah. Mr. Morgan and Hunter both gave short toasts as well, and again Gentry noticed Sarah raising her glass, but then setting it aside without taking a sip. Had they tried another IVF in secret and succeeded? Ian elbowed her side.
I think it's your turn.
Oh, she winced. Sorry.
Instead of facing the guests, she looked directly at Colby.
Everyone else has already used all the good words in their toasts, so I'm going rogue. Those who know me well will not be surprised. A smattering of chuckles rippled through the crowd.
Alec, you owe me a lifetime supply of your curried shrimp dish as a thank you. If I hadn't flirted with you so obnoxiously, Colby might never have faced her true feelings. And on a more serious note, Colby, I am so lucky to have an older sister who embodies grace and courage. You've taught me that strength comes from love, not pride, and I'm so glad you've found someone equally wonderful to share your life with. Now, get busy making babies because Colt needs more cousins.
More laughter erupted, but Gentry noticed Hunter and Sarah exchange a knowing look.
Cheers.
Gentry swallowed her champagne and eyed Sarah, who yet again refused to drink her champagne. She sat and said,
Hunter, you look like you're about to burst with some good news. Care to share?
Her brother started at being put on the spot, pushed his glasses up his nose, and pivoted.
Well, our first few months' sales figures on Charity are on target with projections. No major hiccups yet. I think we can expect to see a lot of growth going forward.
That is good news. We should drink to that as well. Colby raised her glass.
I love seeing my whole family together and happy.
And growing, Hunter said.
Gentry clinked her glass with Ian and watched Sarah clink hers and set it down.
Sarah, you aren't drinking tonight?
Sorry, Sarah's eyes widened.
I've noticed you haven't taken a single sip during any of the toasts.
Now, everyone's attention shifted to Sarah and Hunter.
You aren't feeling sick, are you?
Sarah and Hunter shared another look. He whispered something, and she shrugged. Colby spoke up, eyes widening with understanding.
Don't you dare keep a secret just because you think I can't share this day with anyone. If you've got more good news, you'd better tell us right now.
Hunter smiled at Colby, and Gentry didn't even feel left out for a change.
Okay, then. Sarah's pregnant.
The table erupted with clapping and hugs. Leslie's eyes began to leak, and Gentry's dad asked,
How did it happen?
Apparently, it's not completely unheard of for people to be unsuccessful at IVF, and then, when they stop trying or thinking about it, for everything to come together. We're only at 10 weeks, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Congratulations!
Alec wore a giant smile and then whispered something to Colby before kissing her again. Excited chattering broke out all around Gentry as the waiters set the amuse-bouche in front of everyone. Ian leaned close.
More cousins for Colt, indeed.
It's the best news ever.
I can think of something better.
She popped the sweet fig with creamy ricotta in her mouth.
Like what?
Like a brother or sister?
Gentry's whole body warmed.
That would be perfect.
I think so, too.
He kissed her. She brushed her fingers through his bangs.
It seems unfair that I'm getting everything I ever wanted, But you didn't get to fulfill your dad's wish.
Don't worry. I'm happy with my choice.
Ian squeezed her hand. She believed him, but it didn't lessen the discomfort of knowing that she hadn't had to make any compromises. Ian deserved some kind of gesture from her to show him how much he meant to her.
If we ever have a son, let's name him Brian. That way your dad's name will live on for another generation.
I'd love that.
Ian's face lit with a smile, his eyes bright with tears.
I wish my father had met you.
Me too. But I wish more that he'd seen what an amazing father you are. Thank you for loving Colt and me, and making my family complete.
Thank you for giving me a life better than anything I'd ever dreamed for myself.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of When You Knew by Jamie Beck, performed by Siri Scott. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.